If you are able to stand for the reading of God's infallible and inerrant word, beginning in the Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that my joy might be fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your words, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Thank you, dear God, for this witness to the church and to the believers. Amen. Be seated. Each day I read the obituaries from my hometown and from the towns where I've served as pastor. And that might be kind of morbid. Did any of y'all read the obituaries each day? Yeah. Sarah said to see if she was in it. Well, if you're in it, honey, you won't be reading it. And one of the things that I've become aware of, that in my generation, increasing numbers of people my age and many even younger are passing away. My dearest high school friend, I had two really close, Lonnie Hillis, went up to send some messages out on Facebook to some of his friends, and those were the last messages he ever sent. He was completely unaware that that morning his life would be taken away. Praise God, Lonnie knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And while his life in this world is gone, his real life has just begun. But that's a reality, and I reflect back over my own life. And none of us know the day or the hour when we shall die. One thing we do know, that every day we live, that day is getting closer, isn't it? You ever thought about it that way? Now, that terrorizes some people, but it comforts me. For I, as Paul would say, when that moment comes, I have fought the good fight, I have run the race, and the victory is mine. See, believers look to the future with that spirit within them. Worldlings cannot. People with an insincere or uncommitted faith, and when we mean committed faith, we mean that our lives are sold out completely to the Lord Jesus. It is for his cause that we live and die. That's what saved people are. That's where they are. They're not these, I'm not going to use the word that came to mind, but they're not these halfway Christians. They are truly the Lord's. So the deacons and I have been talking, and as I get older, the day will come that I'll either croak, because every frog croaks in the end, don't forget that, I will either croak or I'll say, you know, Ray, I've just kind of worn my old body out and I can't keep up with the task here as it needs to be kept out. So I'm going to spend the rest of my life raising hogs and corn in Mississippi. And as we talked about that at deacon's meeting, I said that, you know, there are a few more things that I really want to see accomplished here at Lakeview in my ministry. And I don't think my retirement is imminent, but it is coming some point. And my death may be more imminent than any of us know. You know that? And so I wanted to, and I'm drafting up some suggestions for the deacon board. When, if I retire, you'll have time to plan who you call, or if I die, Ray, it's in your lap. And you'll just have to do the best you can. But there are some things that every congregation needs to know to be ready. Because let me tell you something. Choosing a pastor, now you're going to be upset about this, is really more dangerous than choosing a wife or a husband. You choose a bad wife or choose a bad husband, it messes up your life and perhaps the life of the children. You choose a bad pastor, it messes up countless lives. And there are good pastors out there and there are bad ones. But I want to begin today to lay the groundwork. If I'm here 10 more years or if I'm here in another 30 seconds, I want you to hear this. You as believers are living in perilous times. Do you know that? You are living in perilous times. You're entering the age, I think, that the book of Revelation speaks of when the trials for the church are going to be great. The distortions you will face and deal with are going to be many. And you need to understand that the many, many denominations and churches are being distorted by false teaching today. There are denominations, and we can mention them. The Episcopal Church, the National Presbyterian Church, the United Church of Christ, have all abandoned the historic biblical teachings on sexuality. They have. And sadly, I fear that the Methodist Church is heading the same way. One of the largest Methodist churches in the United States, down in Texas, just voted out of the Methodist Church. They'll lose all their property, of course, but they voted out because they said that their bishops were failing to be clear on biblical teachings about human sexuality. Churches, many of them, will defend with all their heart the right to an abortion. Abortions that have no legal control or limitations on them. It's entirely in the decision of the mother and the doctor. No advocate for the baby. There's something wrong with that picture, folks. The Bible tells us, as it speaks of the unborn in Jeremiah, that God knows us before we're even knit together in our mother's womb. That child has an identity, and that child has rights given not by our government, which has denied its rights, but given by God. Churches need to know that. And we could look at many other areas. The Episcopal Church is rewriting its prayer book, and they're talking about removing all male references to God. And Jesus said, when you pray, say, our what? And now while God is not understood in gender as we understand it this world, God's expression of himself is truly that of Father. So now to today's point. Do you know what the apostolic faith is, the real apostolic faith? The real apostolic faith is the faith that truly teaches what God's Word teaches. In other words, that is the faith we've received from the apostles. It has come down through them without exception. Without exception. It was the faith that came down through all the great denominations in America. Many of them are abandoning it. I was troubled recently when one of the outstanding preachers in the Baptist church, pastor of a very large church, denigrated, and he can't get around it. He's trying to talk himself out of it, but he clearly denigrated the authority of the Old Testament and its importance. Churches, realize you are living in a perilous time. I am a pastor that believes that God's word is truth. And if I contradict that word, I am in the wrong. As Paul says, if anybody comes to you preaching a gospel other than one I originally preached to you, even if it be myself, do not believe them. If anything I ever teach you is contrary to the word of God, do not believe it. I pray that I will never reach the place where that ever happens. The church must hold fast to the authority of Scripture. Let me tell you, and you study the history of theology, the churches in Western Europe and the United States began to slip in the 1920s. When there became a movement that said, you know, Scripture really isn't literally true. Scripture does not mean what you think it means. And where does that come from? Where does the spirit that would deny the truth of God's Word come from? The devil. How do I know that? The Bible tells me so. And Eve said unto the serpent, God has said, if we eat from this tree, we shall surely die. You remember that passage? If you don't, you need to be reading your Bible more. And what was the devil's answer? He said, surely God has not said. And people hear the fact that as married man and woman, they are be committed to each other lifelong, and they hear the word, surely the God has not said. Or when people head into an abortion clinic, well, this life is precious and can't be terminated, and the voice says, surely God has not said this is the case. Or when the churches do the damnable, and I say that clearly, damnable, that's a good word, a word that means worthy of God's judgment. When the churches tell the damnable lie to men marrying men and women marrying men, women marrying women and men marrying men, they sin. They have denied what God said and listened to what the devil says. Surely God has not said that. Jesus said, you can't get around this, friends. Jesus said, thy word is what? What? Are you asleep? What did Jesus say? Thy word is what? Truth. Folks, you got to get with it. I'm going to give you one more chance. Maybe you didn't hear it the first time. Jesus said, thy word. Still didn't say it like he meant it. And then he goes on, you know, previous to that he says, sanctify them. And he's talking about the disciples. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. Sanctify them with the truth. We come to mean, you know, so-and-so is sanctified. We mean all kinds of things like that. Let me tell you what the Bible means about sanctify. Sanctify is the person whose life is giving glory and honor to God. That's what a sanctify. I don't care how loud you shout and sing, if you're not living the life that gives glory and honor to God, you're not sanctified. And so he says, sanctify them with the truth. All right. And what is the truth that sanctifies us? What is it that makes us live a life that gives honor and glory unto God? His word, because his word represents who he is and what he wills. You hear that? God's word represents who he is and what he wills. You remember when we had, he's come back for revival, incidentally, Pastor Joseph Oligari from the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church over in Mooresville. He's coming back to a revival. And he can not only tell you about Islam, but he can really tell you about Jesus too. But if you remember what he said about so many Muslims, that the Muslims never read the Quran, they don't know it. You know, the sad thing is that many Christians never read the Bible and don't know it. Everybody would be horrified if I begin to choose people from the congregation this morning and ask them, tell me what the Bible teaches about giving. Can you tell me the passages, some of the passages? Or any host of subjects. That ought not to be. That ought not to be. If you're not reading and studying your Bible daily, there is no way that you will be able to give Christ the honor and glory that we need to give him. Sanctify them with the truth. Thy word is truth. And the moment Lakeview's teaching or doctrine or life begins to be based upon anything else other than the word of God, you will become an apostate church. Now, what's apostate means? It means that you have left the faith. And the Bible, people say, well, you just can't understand the Bible. You can make the Bible say whatever you want it to say. Have you all ever heard that? You can make, I got one person that's been listening to people. You hear it all the time. If the Bible can be made to say whatever you want it to say, it's a worthless book, isn't it? It's nonsense. Because any document that will allow for the truth of self-contradictory statements is nonsense. The Bible is clear, my friends. It can be understood, even the essence of it, even by a little child. Our little children learn the Bible. I know they don't learn it. They learn it through Bible school. I remember Whitaker. Whitaker going up to the motorcycle dude with the beard after we talked about Moses said, do you know Moses? And the guy said, Moses? He says, you don't know Moses? He said, come to my church, you'll learn about Moses. And he gave him a card and invited him to church. He was 4 years old? Some of you cats have never invited anybody to church in your life, and you're grown with many years behind you, and that's terrible. But anyway, God's word is the foundation of the message that we proclaim. It's the word that brings the news, good news of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? How do we learn about Jesus? Through the word. So one of the things that I would tell you that when the Lord calls me home, or when I get too old and feeble to do my job, I'm not saying when you get tired of me. You know, getting tired of the preacher, there's no reason to fire him. But there are reasons to fire him, and so often we don't fire him when they need to be fired. But I want you to know this, and Ray, you deacons, and you'll soon be passing the torch to another, and I'll give you this document I'm working on. Make certain that whoever occupies the teaching authority in this church will confess unapologetically that the Bible is the inspired and infallible word of God. Because any other teacher who believes any other thing will at some point in your life lead you astray. That's why I told the deacons that needs to be right at the top of the questions that are asked. St. Paul writing in the book of Timothy, in the third chapter, verses 16 through 17, talking about to Timothy, Timothy who was a leader of the church, and he reminded him of this, that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is suitable for teaching, correction, and what the key thing is, we sometimes just miss that, and that word inspired, and really, unless you can look back to the Greek, you don't really grasp the depth of what Paul is saying when he uses that term. That term just doesn't mean it's something that you that inspires you like maybe a beautiful tree inspires. It's very different. Some Bibles translate it literally, and I think there is a value in that. That term inspiration in the Greek means God breathed. The Word of God is breathed out by God. And God never lies. God's statements can never be subjected to saying, surely God did not say. The authority of Scripture is the central issue in the problems of churches today. Now, not only theologically, as we face the falling away of so many denominations and so many congregations, I'm not just simply saying in that area, and that is certainly relevant. If the Episcopal Church and the United Church of Christ and the Presbyterian Church National took seriously the inspiration of God's Word, that His Word is truth, they would be coming out on very different places than they're coming out on issues. And I pray our Methodist friends will see that before they make the decision. But I'm also talking about how churches interact with each other. When a church believes thy word is truth, we deal with each other's shortcomings differently, don't we? We understand each other differently, don't we? God's word shapes how we live together in the body. And I say unto you, pray for those who despitefully use you. I say unto you, love one another. There's no qualifications to giving us love. Gail, it doesn't seem you must be good looking like the pastor. No, those qualities aren't there. Or as common even keeled as Bobby Clark. Janet, can I get an amen on that? No. Only teasing you, Bobby. But it doesn't say anything about our qualifications in the body of Christ as to how we're to love each other or why do we love. He just simply says, love one another as I've loved you. That means we love one another when we please each other, and we love each other when we don't. I'm not perfect. There are a lot of things about me you don't like. If you don't know some things about me that you ought not to like, come and see me after the service. I can tell you what they are. Some of them. I don't know all of them, but I can tell you some of them. See, if God's word is truth, it governs all of our interpersonal relationships. And if it doesn't, it's not God's truth for us. When you fall away, this is true of churches, and I would add it's also true of nations. It is true of individuals. When God's word is no longer your sovereign authority over your life, you are an idolater. Because something else other than the true and living God is your authority. Thy word is truth. I had a fellow in my church came to Christ under me. I've talked to him about many times about Steve Vargo. But he used to say sometimes in meetings, and some people be insulted. I rejoice there. I said, preacher, I don't care what you think. What does God's word say? That's the kind of man you can count on. He loved me with all his heart, but he didn't love me more than God. And I wouldn't have wanted him to. His life, I saw it as he came to Christ, became entirely governed by the word of God. That man knew the Bible, and I'd studied it for 40 years prior to meeting him. He knew the Bible as well as I did. Why? because he knew that word would sanctify him. Sanctify him by making his life a life of honor and praising God. A life that would not be misled in a false direction. Church, who I love with all my heart, we have a closer relationship in many instances than my own flesh and blood family. I love you with all my heart. And I'll love you until the day I die. But part of really loving someone is speaking the truth in love, isn't it? The truth is this, church. You must not allow your life to be shaped by any authority other than the authority of the Word of God. Culture has invaded the church. Do you know that? The Episcopal Church and those other churches that we've mentioned, they don't reflect the true and living God. They reflect the current wave of our culture. Our last church pulled out of the United Church of Christ over the issue of homosexuality, and because they recognized it as a clear violation of what Holy Scripture teaches. And it is. I'm probably getting some hate mail over this, but you know, that stuff's irrelevant. The Christian doesn't expect everybody to love them, right? What did Jesus say? They're going to hate you because they hate me. When people don't like you because you're standing for the Word of God, be proud. Better to be hated because you love Christ and are obedient to Him than to be loved by the world. See, part of the reason the church is in trouble today is that for a number of years the church had no backbone. Culture has invaded the church, and it will attempt to invade this one. It always does. We will suffer greater persecution as a church than those that have given into culture. I promise you. We're moving into the last days. It's going to increase. But for your sake and the sake of your witness, never abandon the doctrine of the authority of the Word of God. Because the moment you abandon that, you are lost. You will not be a leader. You will only be a follower of culture. Pilate asked the question of Jesus, remember? What is truth? Jesus didn't give him an answer. Not because Jesus didn't know what the truth was. He knew that Pilate did not care about the truth. Stand bold for the truth, firstly, in the life of this church. Deacons, that's your calling, you know that? Your calling is certainly to minister along beside me in caring for the sick and the widows and all of those of seeking the lost. That's your calling. But your chief calling, I remind you, is to be a steward of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says it. How shall men regard us as stewards, oikonomos, as keepers of the truth? And if you have to do that and the whole congregation hates you, do it. And congregation, you let God's word be your decider. Not what you think, but what he reveals. In the face of an unbelieving, truth-rejecting world, Let our confession be sound and strong. Let our understanding be clear as to where the source for truth is found. It is found in God's holy, God's self-breathed Word of God. Never waver from that.